Blog Talk Radio.
To be the man, you gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the American shit. Let's go, hook him up! I will dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
The game is ours to play.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Over the Top Radio. I'm your host Ed in San Antonio, and I'm joined by a special co-host today, Junior Horseman. And I guess you can hear his shitty phone line already. My former co-host of the Drunk Cast, the Peach Machine, who's fucking up my show 2 minutes in. What's going on, Peach?
What? Why do you think it's my phone line? Why isn't it Horseman?
Because it's always your phone line, and I was talking to Junior Horseman earlier, and I didn't hear anything. But how are you doing tonight, Horseman?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
You know, just sitting here thinking about the Holocaust.
I was doing great till some asshole called in, but oh well. I guess.
Hey, I came on this show on a Friday night to carry your fucking dead weight. Don't give me any shit. And what was that horrible entrance song? You know, when I'm on the show, I want to hear the Mbop remake.
Well, I'll play that at the end of the show. And the other song that we used to play has become problematic, and I'll get in trouble if I play the other ones.
What? What do you mean? The one that says the man with the 10-inch cock? That one's great.
Yeah. Well, it is great, but I can't play that no more.
Why?
I don't want the entire Twitter universe to attack me like they attacked Dave for talking about liking a girl with before she got her boob job.
Oh, well, I what part of the song says that?
I kissed a girl before she got her boob job. What are you talking about?
we should get someone to make a remix of that. Is that just that line? That'd be perfect. But anyway, we are here to. I haven't done a shit.
Bottle rockets off. No. Yeah, what is that? Who's someone shooting bottle rockets off in their living room? Matt.
No, Matt. Not me.
Yeah, not me. I don't hear anything.
I can't hear anything.
You don't hear two. You don't hear popping. You don't hear like bottle
rockets.
I do hear
some popping, but it's not me.
All right. Is there someone else on the line that you're gonna like drop on us and it's gonna be like, hey, guess who it is? It's Disco Inferno. He's here to beat your ass and not fucking tell anybody about it. Like that?
No, I don't have that planned. I haven't talked to the Disco Inferno. But
no. All right.
Anyway,
well,
we are talking about, since I haven't done a show since Shimmer and WrestleMania, which was like fucking April, this is a special show talking about the F4W Wrestling Observer Vegas Convention and the FSW Girl Power Show, which I co-promoted, and which you were in, like, the only bad match of the show.
Dude, don't talk that way about Horseman, man. He's right here.
Horseman wasn't on the show. I'm talking about some guy who brought a manager who didn't know how to sell, you know, and I love the bird, but you need to work on that shit.
Well, Well, guess what? He ate about fucking 150 milligrams of THC an hour before the show, so he was fucking lit.
I thought he played his part well. I mean, isn't that what a big, scary lifeguard's supposed to do, just stand there and take chops and not sell them?
Yeah, but well, you're not supposed to clap hands with the crowd if you're a bad guy.
That's true.
Hey, yeah, actually, I got to say, you know, as much as I love the bird, I think Wang did a better job last year.
Well, you know what? The Wang isn't beach body material. He's not one of the beach bums. You know, I don't know what he is. He's on Brian's side. That's bullshit.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the show, and let's talk about how this match even came about, because, you know, I was being shunned for months from the little midget Brian Alvarez and Filthy Tom Lawler because they don't know how to read a tweet, and they decided that I was trying to book them before I talked to them about the show, which is not what happened. They're just, you know, Vinny and Dave Meltzer were tagged on that tweet, and they didn't think that I booked them for the wrestling show. So, anyways, those fools got all crazy, even though I apologized after the fact for the miscommunication or whatever. I tried to apologize. I didn't hear back from either one. So they were being kind of buttheads before the convention. In fact, and then there was a thing where Brian even tried to move the whole convention to All In, which didn't happen, thanks to Vinny V. And a few other people who pushed for it. But anyway, so I wasn't talking to Brian. I wasn't on speaking terms with Brian, but this match got put together. So why don't you start off and tell us how the hell this shit came about, Peach?
Oh, man. There was about 50 iterations of what was going to end up being this match. And let's be perfectly clear. Ed and I had a plan months ago to secretly book Tom and Brian before they knew about it. So I'm just going to put our cards on the table. This was a mastermind. And you know what? Tom and Brian, they fell right into our trap, Ed. They bit on it, baby. And Tom, you know, he had to go do some stupid shit in Ohio, but, you know, he's still in on it because we're coming back around next year, and it's going to be Brian Alvarez and Dirty Tom Lawler against the Beach Bums again, this time for real. But
I would actually prefer Vinny. I would prefer Vinny Vihai as a partner and not Tom, so. Remember, I'm still the money man. I still make the final decisions on who's on the show.
No, the money man is the guy who draws the money. That's me right here, baby. You're talking to Mr. Money. Yeah, you're just the guy who hands over the checks. That's all you are. But we had about 50 – Ed and I brainstormed about 50 different ways we were going to do this match. And because Tom couldn't make it and all that's bullshit, we obviously didn't plan a thing. We just started pitching shit and – I think at one point it was going to, there was something to do with Ming involved. That would have been amazing. But that didn't happen. And then we finally got this Jack Jameson character who Brian was super thrilled to be tagging with. And I don't know what happened. I guess alcoholism caught up with him and he couldn't make it, but you know, that's what happened when your name is Jack Jameson. And then we settled on Disco Inferno as Brian's partner, but I guess Brian didn't realize that Disco was a fucking bad guy, like the ultra bad guy of FSW. Like, they hated him when Brian started talking about him. I couldn't believe it. I mean, who doesn't love the Disco Inferno? He was phenomenal on Nitro. But long story short, it ended up, it was going to be a singles match, then it was going to be a tag match, then it ended up being a handicap match, then it ended up being a tag match at the end. So there you go. Brian and the Disco Inferno lost to the Beach Bums, Mikey G, and the Beach Bod Peach Machine. Horseman, what do you think of the match?
I thought it was fun. I thought you guys had the crowd. A lot of people that were skeptical at first were into it by the time it was all said and done. And I think you guys had that good – I don't know, people that weren't even a part of our group.
Oh, okay.
But I think you guys had a meeting by the palm of your hand by the time it was all said and done.
Yeah, well, thank you. I saw you in there. I made eye contact with you a couple times. I was going to come over when I got my pants pulled down. I was going to try and land in your lap, but, you know, Brian didn't throw me over
Thank God for being in the second row. Probably one of the smarter choices I made the whole weekend.
If Granny was there, I was going to fall across her lap and have her spank me. I thought that would have been awesome.
Dude, we'd all be in trouble for fucking involuntary manslaughter of an old lady if you would have done that shit.
She would have had a heart attack.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a fun time. You know, we put together the match backstage. We didn't really have anything coming into it, and because the whole thing got turned upside on his head when we realized Disco was a bad guy. We're like, how are we going to do this, man? Like, we got to involve him because otherwise it's stupid to just do a handicap match. There's no need. And so this Disco thing just came about. So I got to take a fucking swinging neck breaker and a chart buster from the Disco Inferno and then win the match anyway. So I thought it was fun.
I don't remember you winning the match.
No, of course we won the match. What do you mean? How did we not lose? How did we lose? Pinned the wrong guy. And previous to that, I had Brian pinned, but the referee took fucking forever to get there and make the count. Not only that, Brian left the ring way before us, so if that pinfall didn't count, he'd certainly got counted out. So we won a couple of ways.
I heard there's questions that Brian wasn't even the legal man. That it was two illegal men in the match that were a part of the finish.
See, there you go. A third way that the match should continue. Or just give us the win because, you know, quite frankly, the best bods usually win the day. And that was clearly the Beach Bums.
I don't know.
Well,
Disco looked pretty good for his age. Disco looked pretty good for a 50-year-old man.
He's 50?
But I got to say, the best thing of the whole thing was I was in the what do you call it, the backstage, which actually was outside the building.
Oh,
so
yeah.
we're all out
it was
there.
So hot.
It's me, you, yeah, it was pretty hot. Me, you, Mikey G, the Bird, and Brian, and here comes Disco, walks up with his shirt open, showing off his shit. He goes, you know, if I was 50 years old and looked like that, I'd be doing it too. But basically, he's like, so what are we doing? And Brian's like, okay, we're going to start the match, and you're not going to come out, and I'm going to cut a promo and talk about how we talked about fantasy football, but you're not going to come out, and I'm going to do the match.
That was
and
fun.
Then
that
I'm
going to
do a high spot outside. I'm going to do a high spot, and then your music's going to hit. You're going to come in. You're going to dance. You're going to make the hot tag. You're going to run wild. And you're going to get stunner, and then give me the stunner before we hug. Like, we're going to act like we're hug, give me stunner, and then just walk away. And Disco's like, that's all you want me to do?
Yeah. He was ready to go, but we're like, that's all we're going to do. And everybody knows, if you know Brian, he probably doesn't know how many players are on a football team, much less managing a fantasy football team. But is Disco, like, super into that or something?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
I don't know
that,
but it sure got a hell of a pop from all the website people in the crowd who knew better.
Yes. Brian talking fantasy football is ridiculous.
But I do got to say, I don't know if Horseman could hear it from where he was at, but just down the road from me was this like one old lady who fucking hated Mikey G. And I don't know if she's crossed paths with him or what, but this is, I mean, Mikey G was saying some shit, but then she started saying shit to him, and he was all bugged out, like, oh, my God, can't believe what this old lady fucking said to me and shit.
I wasn't able to hear him during the match. It wasn't until after the match when they were leaving ringside when all of a sudden we looked over and realized that they were going at it, but we couldn't hear what actually was being said between the two.
I just heard, all of a sudden, I heard this old lady screeching and Mike just jaw-jacking back. And I was like, you know what? Maybe I should stay out here a little bit longer in case I have to break up an actual fight between a geriatric and a ginger.
Yeah. Mikey G helped you guys get, like, a shitload of heat, which was funny because, like, when Brian was cutting a promo, everybody was booing like a motherfucker. Everyone hated the Disco, but Mikey G was such an asshole, and then, you know, everyone was forced to look at your ass. So when Brian was trying to make the hot tag and didn't make the hot tag, the place actually popped and went crazy because you assholes actually fucking just pissed everyone off worse than the Disco Inferno and shit.
Hell yeah, that's what we do. We're heat magnets.
Yeah, so yeah, that match worked out all right. And then all the other matches I thought went over. I don't know. I guess you didn't get to watch much of the show other than your match because you were fucking backstage.
Yeah, I couldn't see shit. There was a monitor set up backstage, but all the girls, that was like they were changing, so all the men were politely standing outside in the sweltering Vegas sun that was just beating us down at 5 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon. We're all like covered in like fake tan or just like dripping brown goo at our feet. It was awesome.
Yeah. So what did you think of the female talent that was on the show, even though you didn't see them wrestle?
Well, I got to talk to all of them, and they're all really cool. And I saw them put together a match, and I've seen them all work before. You know, I know Mia's really talented. I mean, they were all talented. You booked a hell of a card. You picked some top-notch talent. And even though some of those matches got all screwed up, but they pulled it off, and I think they had the crowd with them. I saw a couple of them. I saw the one with the Australian chick. That was pretty good. I forgot. Who was that? Was that Chris Wolf? No, that wasn't Chris Wolf. Chris Wolf had the tail, right?
Yeah. The Australian. You mean the English girl? Zaya Brookside?
Oh, fuck. Yeah, I called her fucking Australian backstage, too. Yeah. Yeah, that one. She's going to be something someday. I promise you. Like, she's got the exact look WWE loves. And, you know, 99% of the males on the planet love as well. So, lots of things going for her. Horseman, you saw the matches. What did you think of them?
It was good. I liked them all. I think that it was nice that the show was, you know, we got 2 hours and 15 minutes, I think, something like that, two and a half maybe. But it was fun. Everybody had a good time, and I think that going forward, everybody would be more than happy to continue going to FSW shows as part of a convention weekend.
Yeah, Ed wanted to book it for 6.5 hours to beat SummerSlam. I was like, bro, like, no, like, we can only do 3 Ironman matches in one night. It's ridiculous. So,
yeah, I just remember I was thinking to myself the whole months before the show, and I'm like, well, since I am actually the co-promoter, I guess that means I get to actually book these matches. So I'm thinking all these things on how to book the matches. And I go backstage at one point, and I start talking to Mia. I'm like, so, story of the match. And then she doesn't even let me finish. She's like, okay, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. And then I'm like, well, fuck, that's better than what I had. Go ahead. So then the next round, I was like,
yeah.
The next round, I didn't even bother even saying or anything. I was like, they got this shit. They don't need me fucking it up for them.
Did the winners get the gift card? Because that was floated around.
Well, it was a work prize. They weren't actually going to get $1,000 and win these gift cards, but there were four Texas Day Brazil cards that I left in the car when I paid the bill Friday, that Friday before. And I had to pay $200. I had to pay $200 out of my own pocket. Yeah, I had to pay $200 out of my own pocket because I had forgot those gift cards. So I basically, that was the envelope. It had 4 Texas A Brazil gift cards. And
you left it like in an Uber or something?
No, I left them in Corey's rental car. I had a stack of them.
Okay.
Yeah, I had a stack of fucking cards, and somehow I forgot one envelope, and it's the envelope. Each envelope had 2, but the one I left had 4 because I had took them out of the envelope because I needed to pay Mia the night before because she was going straight to the airport and couldn't wait around for the pay. So I took 2 out of 1, put them in, combined it with another 2, and that's the envelope that I left in the car and didn't see till the next day.
Gotcha. So, I was just hoping for a novelty oversized foam cardboard check that was like, you know, 9 feet by 4 feet. That's what I wanted to see, like a huge piece of plywood with like Wendy's spray painted on it. And like for like the like $12. I thought that would have been dope.
Well, I actually thought I had that idea, but I had no clue where to get one of those. I should have asked if someone could make one.
Yeah, next
I kind of figure that everybody that was there from the Empire for the convention kind of were smart enough to figure out that the intent was for it to be Wendy's gift cards, considering what the tournament name was.
Right, right. Why didn't Granny show the fuck up? Was she at Vegas at all?
She is allegedly retired from traveling to Vegas.
Well, you know, I guess when you're 86 years old, you get to make that decision.
Yeah.
Or however old she
one
is.
One question I do have.
She had a hell of a run.
Ed.
Yes.
One question I have about the the match with Miranda and Zaya that I think a few of us got confused with is that out of nowhere, it seemed like they did the turn where all of a sudden they stopped getting along for some reason, but nobody knew why that happened. Like,
oh,
something
I
got missed.
I saw them talking about that. They were talking about that earlier, and then one said, well, I'm going to just have my period midway, and I'll just become a bitch. Oh, no, wait. That's just what my girlfriend pulls on me every month.
It was kind of a way to keep Zaya strong. I mean, if she was going to take the loss, it was after the distraction and betrayal of her partner. So it was kind of done that way. And then plus they didn't know that the other team was going to be kind of doing the same thing, because it was supposed to be Shotzi Blackheart and Sage Sin, but Shotzi had transportation problems and was unable to make it. So we had a throw in, and I was going to have Samantha and Brittany just be straight-ass heels throughout the whole tournament, but we ended up having to throw a heel in there with Sage Sin. So I was just like, okay, I was going to have y'all do heel, but let's just do babyface, and then y'all can turn in the next match. So that's kind of what happened.
And I think it worked out well anyways, because Maserati seemed to really get herself over in her couple of appearances between the match and then accompanying the team out later for the six man. A lot of people came away from that show talking about her being really impressed with just her whole heel gimmick, I guess.
Yeah, she got a lot of heat.
Great
team,
ass.
So. That was Pete's. That wasn't me. I don't make comments like that. I don't judge women's bodies like that. I'm not like a Dave Meltzer type that does say stuff like that.
Ha! Ha, good one.
I thought she had a great personality. I thought she had a great personality.
Taking the gloves off. Yeah, she looked like she had a great personality.
Yeah.
Now,
I was also impressed by the other FTR.
Simply, go ahead. I won't make my ridiculous
I was
going to
say the other girl from FSW. that was in the four-way, she also had a pretty good look, too.
Yes, another excellent-looking personality.
Yeah. So, I thought the show...
Are you going to do this next year?
Hopefully we can move it up to a casino and put 400 or 500 people in there.
That would be awesome. Yeah.
I was kind of thinking about that, too, Ed. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, hopefully we can get Vinny in there, and that way we know we can get probably like the biggest convention turnout ever to make up for.
Oh, Vinny Russell, yeah.
Yeah. Vinny's money, man.
Shoulders Torelli coming to the ring out of retirement, breaking it down.
So what were you going to say, Horseman?
Oh, I was just going to say, if travel and money weren't, like, any hindrances, what's kind of your dream cast of women to be on the next Ed and San Antonio production show?
Well, I would definitely keep the ones that were on it, except even though I'm probably going to lose one of them if Hunter is a man of his word. If I could add other people, we actually tried to get Tessa on the show, but she had a prior commitments. And we also tried to get a Chelsea Green on the show, but she also had a prior commitment. So those would be like a couple, maybe Adam Cole's girlfriend, if she's still available. What I kind of mentioned to Allison Danger when I talked to her is I was hoping, because Rise will do like a show or two in the West Coast. And I was like, I told her, I go, man, I hope Kevin would run on the same weekend, and then I would be more than happy to book pretty much every girl on the show on my show. So that would actually be the perfect scenario, because then I know I could get like three times as many girls, and then since it's all like on a group thing, I could probably get even a discount on the pay, and then the airfare would only be like half or whatever. So, I mean... That's what I kind of hope happens next year, but we'll see. But I'll definitely up the ante and bring in a few more girls, that's for sure.
So does
and then we will get Tata.
Good.
I was going to say, and then we will for sure get that 7-hour show.
Yeah. It'll get there. So maybe not by next year, but maybe in 3 years.
Two intermissions. That's what the fans want. No, is Dia Brookside related to Robbie Brookside?
It's apparently her father.
Yeah.
Oh, no shit. Is it not storyline?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
No,
that.
they were
obviously.
They were hugging and stuff at the Mae Young Classic and stuff. So.
Oh, cool.
She's got an it. She's well, basically she's hired. I think they're just gonna wait till she's 21.
Yeah, they don't need another JoJo incident. They need some maturity. Yeah, you should book
but,
JoJo. Is she still with WWE?
She's the Raw ring announcer, stupid.
Oh, I don't watch Raw. Because on Monday nights, I'm training wrestlers at the Matt Sydal Wrestling School in Clearwater, Florida. So if you want to come out and learn how to wrestle like the Peach Machine and Matt Sydal, you should come on out there. We got a bunch of awesome trainers, and we have class Mondays and Wednesday nights. Skip stupid Monday Night Raw.
Wait,
you can watch it on Google
hold
25
on.
Minutes.
Hold on a second. You're saying the trainers are yourself and Matt Sydal. So basically you offer a learn how to wrestle class and a learn how to suck class.
Dude, just because he's my roommate doesn't mean you have to talk shit on him. It's not cool. Like I said, Horseman's right here.
Yeah.
Why, dude? You know.
Wait a minute. What?
Every time I see Matt, all we do is just make fun of you and talk shit about you. It's awesome.
You don't smoke any weed? That doesn't come up? No.
Yeah,
right. I'll leave that one hang.
Actually, I guess the last few times I've seen him, I've dropped Rodney's name, and that's made for some pretty good entertainment.
Ah, yeah. He's a fan of Rodney. He'll get like these very well thought out, polite tweets just randomly from Rodney. And he's like, check this out. How is he the nicest man on the planet? And I'm like, I don't know. And he's friends with all of us assholes. But like, am I wrong? Like Rodney's the nicest human on the planet.
Of course.
Yeah.
You should have been at the sweet party after he ate a pop brownie, and then you would have even seen an even nicer version of Rodney.
No. Oh, tell me about it. Was he just like gushing over people? Did he get to like bro hug time where he's just like, yeah, I gotta tell you something. Come here, Horseman. You've just been a special part of my life. Did you get that?
I can't say that I totally remember because my sweet party is somewhat of a blur. Apparently he had to stop me from karate fighting with him after breakfast at like 5 a.m. So,
fuck! I'm mad I missed that. Come here! Come here! Put up your guard. I'm gonna crane kick you in the face.
Yeah. Well, he ate half of it, and then you could tell he was feeling really good, and then he asked if he should eat the other half. So I was like, of course.
Fucking
A. And then,
of course. No.
Then Rodney would even
do more pot.
So then he was even nicer. So yeah, different side of Rodney that we've ever seen before at the sweet party, and you fucking missed it. And it's funny because I guess Dez is buying food or something for the sweet party, and all I hear is people say, "Peach is here, Peach is here." I'm like, "Where the fuck is this asshole? I don't see him." Peach, he's like, "Where the fuck?" And then I figured it out. They were saying the pizza's here, and I was like, "Oh fuck!" So
yeah, I was on a fucking.
So you
flight.
Let me down at
Remember,
the sweet
like,
party and in the match. You couldn't win. You were supposed to beat Brian, and you lost.
Yeah, I stretched him out pretty good though. But you know, it was funny. Like a decade ago, the sweet party was like, we all got blackout drunk, and nobody can remember shit. We all made fun of Dave, and now it's like. We politely watched wrestling, and we ate some pizza like a gentleman, and some of us got high.
That's not how it went at all. I mean, it was still a pretty cool party. You weren't there to
Sorry.
Fuck it up.
I got
there
blackout
drinking.
Drunk. I made fun of Dave and tried to wrestle everybody in the sweet party. It was either me or Coughlin. Someone has to do it. I guess Rodney's stepping
but
it up.
You did.
He's ninja fighting everyone.
You
I
did
do
miss,
remember
Leva Bates. You did miss Leva Bates commandeering the TV and putting it on K-pop and dancing to K-pop for like a couple hours at the street party.
That would have been fun too.
She was like, we had our own personal go-go dancer for the night, but it was the K-pop, so.
It was a super annoying, high-pitched Asian voice screeching. Yeah, I'm very familiar with K-pop. I was going to ask you. So next year, who's going to All In? Either of you guys?
I'm not.
No, because why would I want to go to a shitty indie show after I just put on what's going to win me the Promoter of the Year for 2018 and the Wrestling Observer Awards? Why would I want to go to that crappy indie show?
I'll write you in for Promoter of the Year. I swear to you, I'll do it. I don't care. I get a vote.
All right,
we got
three so far. We got three votes so far.
Who's the other?
Maybe I can make the honorable mention list. You
Ed
little bastard. You better vote for me.
Let's see. What else can we vote for? We have Booker of the Year, Promoter of the Year.
Worst promotional tactic somehow.
Yeah, right. Using Wendy's as a fake gift card. That's underhanded. just booking me flat out, period, is a very poor promotional tactic.
Booking midget wrestlers in 2018.
Oh, calling them midget wrestlers in 2018. Basically, every ounce of this podcast up to this point has been the most offensive tactic of the year. What else? All right, so the convention's we're doing it again on SummerSlam weekend, or is there going to be another fight about it?
Well, Brian said the other night that it was going to be that weekend on one of the shows. Actually, he said it with Dave, but probably going to be a fight over it, but I'm going to win the fight.
Well, Dave has to show up. He's got to stop celebrating his daughter's ridiculous birthday. Like, who the fuck cares? Yeah, oh, wow, she's 13 now. Like, she's going to be 14 next year. We get it. Just hit the big ones, Dave. Or bring her. Who cares? Does bring his daughters and sons.
Yeah, but I don't think Dave would want us hitting on his daughter like some of us have hit on his daughters, on Dez's daughters. And I think I might have just gave myself away for that.
Yeah, I was like,
or me.
Sure,
me.
Fuck ain't me.
Because she'll be legal the next time I see her.
Good God. All right, see, this is the most offensive promotional tactic.
Damn, look at the time.
Look at the time. 16 years.
Yeah. So anyway, hopefully...
Next year we'll set up a photo booth. It'll be like a fucking mugshot, and we'll just have Ed holding his plaque.
Oh, that'd be awesome. We should get Rodney to do it in white face. Do it as Donald Trump.
White face and orange hair. We'll give him Tupac brownies to do it.
Oh, man, I'm going to give him so much shit about this. But, hey, everything's legal in Nevada now, so it's game on. Although, ironically, I was sober nearly 100% of the time. So I felt like I dropped the ball in that capacity. But Horson, sounds like you picked it up for me.
Yeah, I feel like I, pulled my usual weight, at least through Friday night.
Good. Man, I was just trying to think back to the classic characters who no longer show up anymore, who showed up those first couple of years, like Mexican Seafood.
Yeah.
Who else? Rohiblius. I didn't see him there. Was he there?
No, he was there last year. He didn't come this year.
Only come if Dave comes.
Yeah. There's the kind of one and done's that made their name like Jakey and Klitz.
Oh yeah, Jakey fucking he made his name, boy. He was awesome.
Teddy Long.
Yeah, he was great. Stevie, the Jays haven't shown up in a while.
Yeah.
I don't know. So we used to be a tight crew, but now we're all just getting old, and soon we'll all be dead. I for one welcome the cold stare of death.
Well, that's on you. I don't. I got a few more years to go.
Sadly, I got with everyone, and I should.
I doubt it. Some fan will shank your ass before sooner or later.
I say next episode we do F4W Death Pool. I got Craig. He's going to see the Lord sooner than anyone. I hope no one listens to this fucking show. I feel like I'm pretty.
Craig actually is hinting. Craig was hinting on Twitter or on Facebook or somewhere that he might actually show up to the convention next year.
It was good. Yeah, it was a reply to somebody's Facebook post.
If we get
Yo,
Brian and Vinny to team, I'll get Craig to be the heavy.
Irony.
Well, he is heavy, so
Craig
he'd be a perfect
wrestle?
Heavy. Yeah.
Was Craig ever? Yeah, I thought he was. What was his name?
Yeah.
Craig Corrosion.
Ah, that's right. I knew that. I'm an idiot. What did he come out to?
Yeah,
even flow, or like an even flow ripoff song. Wait,
I don't
that?
Know.
That
was long
Jericho's
before song. I ever met any of them. I've only heard the story, seen a couple of random pictures, but
I love Craig. He's always such a happy guy. He's always gives me a big old hug and like crushes me with his man grip.
He's my partner in crime for concerts. So we go to a concert and we get down on the floor and I let him lead the way and part the seas of people and I just kind of follow him right and we get right in front of the stage. It's awesome.
What concerts other than Pearl Jam have you been to with Craig?
We've
Pearl
done
Jam.
Alice in Chains, Soundgarden. Actually, we haven't done Pearl Jam together. We were at the same shows, but not sitting together. We usually do, it's called Flight to Mars. It's one of the guitars from Pearl Jam. It's a yearly side gig that he does.
Well, I never heard of that one. Cool.
But he's a fun dude. I like him. He's awesome.
Yeah.
And like I said, a good
like
guy
a
to
sober,
go to concerts.
Sober
with.
Guy. Oh yeah, sure. I would like to see him eat a Pop Ronnie.
I think if you were around him at the right time in his life, that was probably a possibility.
Oh, no shit. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's all mature and adult-like.
He wasn't always, super religious.
Oh. So I'm getting ready for a jiu-jitsu tournament tomorrow. Which rash guard should I wear? My regular just like Under Armour rash guard or Joey Janela's spring break.
Because
at WrestleMania, I bought one of the F4W like convention, like dry fit shirts. And then fucking, the young kid, the 22-year-old.
JJ?
What's his name? JJ, yeah.
JJ?
JJ was like, here, have some more free Pat. Yeah, his dad, Scott, yeah. He's like, have some more. I was like, what the fuck is this? And it's Joey Janela's Spring Break 2, and it's got a picture of the great Sasuke and Joey Janela on it. So I think that's what I'm wearing tomorrow in the tournament. So when I win, I'll send a photo to you guys on Twitter.
Awesome. It feels like the right thing to do.
Yeah, I don't think there was an option. Or I could have worn my F4W. I wear my F4W one all the time to work. I love it. Well,
speaking of work,
I was gonna say
if you wanted to jump off since you gotta get ready for your jiu-jitsu tournament, that's cool, and then we could talk about the stuff that you weren't involved in after you leave.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, Ed. Horseman, always good to talk to you, buddy. I'm sorry I didn't get to hang out, but we'll do it next year. All right. So hit me up when this goes live, and I'll retweet it and get, an extra 48 views.
Maybe like 1.5, probably.
But yeah.
Anyway, all right.
I have enough gimmick accounts to account for 48. So, all right. See you guys.
Later on, fool.
See.
All right, so we got rid of the I don't even know what to call them, psychopaths, a delusional wrestler, the most delusional wrestler in the world, the Peach Machine, somehow thinks he won
the
match.
Must be all the sun.
Even though he didn't. But, yeah, there was a whole lot of other stuff going on with the convention besides the wrestling show, because we were there for like 4 nights and shit. So I'll let you drop down some of your favorite stuff that we did over the weekend.
Just kind of going day by day. This time, Thursday night just kind of ended up being a free-for-all for the people that were in town. I know last year we had get together, we went bowling and did some bar hopping kind of around the link. This year, a group of us, that's kind of where we ended up again. Just went, kind of walked around, sightseed, ate some pizza and drank drinks. And I ended up actually getting, when I got in Thursday, I ended up upgrading my room and got a nice little suite that kind of became a second hangout for a group of people on a couple of nights. So we just ended up there and kicked back for, I don't know, till early in the morning on Friday.
Speaking of your little sweet party on Thursday. So we were having the big suite at the Cosmo. It was just going to be for Friday night, but they had offered there's a room for a free room, regular room for Thursday. And then they offered to upgrade that for like $175 to get the big suite for Thursday and Friday. So we got that, and Dez posted that there was going to be a mini little party starting on that day. So I was doing shit. Me and Leva had actually gone out to dinner at the Robert Irving's place at the Tropicana, which we made sure to tweet Gail Kim about it, and we ended up getting a discount on some of our stuff. So hopefully that
nice.
Worked.
And then I did see Leva's tweet.
Yeah. So then we went to, me and her went to the the Michael Jackson Cirque du Soleil, which was freaking awesome. So we were hanging out, and then when we were calling it a night, I contacted you, and you were like, oh, well, we're already at my suite, so we're just going to hang here. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go smoke some weed and chill out and crash out at the suite, the Cosmo. But I guess Dez had, and I didn't even realize he put the number, so I hear a doorbell ringing. And I'm like, who the fuck's coming by now? I didn't call a hooker or anything. So what the fuck's going on? So I go over there, and there's one of the newbies, Ben, and a real cool dude. But he's there, and he's got his bottle of scotch. He's all excited, ready to party, and then no one's there. And I knew you guys were over there. So I call you to say, hey, I'm going to send a new guy over. And, of course, you guys are all fucking drunk off your asses. And you're like, what? Who? Who is this person? And is he cool? And all these questions. And he could hear you over the phone, and he's all feeling, I can see he's kind of like feeling all bad. And he's like, dude, I don't have to go over. And I'm like, oh, you motherfucker. I was like, don't you remember? I sent the newbie over last year. He was super cool. So I guess he found you guys for a little bit. And then
What had happened in the meantime, kind of going back too, is that our group, it was like Dale Andrews and Ryan and Jessica and Daza and I and Kirk, and we had ended up down at the link. We'd wandered back. Some people, actually, as we were getting back to the walkway between the Excalibur and Tropicana, we by chance happened to run into Vinny and Bridget. They were kind of starting to head into Excalibur's, and so we caught up and said hi to them real quick. They'd kind of had their own plans, and they'd done some stuff earlier in the night. So as we were kind of starting to break up, I, you know, happened to tell them that, hey, I've got a suite over at the Tropicana. I think we're going to go hang out there for a little bit. If you guys are up to it, let me know. You're more than welcome to come up and join us. And so they went off, and Kirk ended up tagging along with them. The rest of us ended up at my suite. And lo and behold, they ended up we kept in touch, and they ended up making it up. And like I said, everybody stayed till 2 or 3 in the morning. But then between the time that you had called and said, hey, there's this guy, Ben, I'm going to send him your way. We said, great, we'll be here. Most of the group had left. So it was down to just Dale and I by the time he arrived. So everybody else had just happened to leave, and then there's the, you know, knock at the door, like, okay, so let him in, and he came in and hung out for a little bit, but I think it was just kind of, at that point, things were dead, and we were just kind of sitting there nodding off, so that kind of made for a quick end to the evening.
Yeah, I'm sure his first night was, he's probably like, why the fuck did I come here?
But for those who have already heard the most recent Brian and Vinny show, Vinny did talk about the expensive bottle of scotch that Ben had brought with him, and he was actually had it in tow with him Friday night, walked in, set it down, had another drink, and then ended up taking it with him when he left, and then, of course, it would reappear Friday night for at the suite party, and as the tale would be, you know, it got drank from there.
Yeah, I'm not much of a scotch drinker. That shit's, like, way too nasty tasting for me. But, yeah,
it
I remember
probably
him,
wasn't the best
that
decision I made.
Yeah, you were pretty toasted that Friday night. But before the sweet party, I mentioned we went to the Texas Day Brazil. And it was funny because on Friday, basically, I was busy. Normally, I would have set up like the kids' mini golf, but I knew I had a bunch of airport runs to make,
yeah,
you know, being the promoter and all. And luckily, Corey rented a car and was like our personal driver for the weekend, which saved me a few bucks. And stuff. So basically, around 9, we go, we pick up Mia, and so we're talking, and I'm telling Mia, yeah, it's we're doing the dinner like last year, and I tell her, don't worry, I don't know if this is an issue, but don't worry, Dave Meltzer's not going to be here. And you know, she's coming off the Mae Young Classic, so she's like, yeah, that's probably for the best. So. Because I was actually worried she might decline the invitation just because, you know, you don't want to put yourself in a political position, not of your own making. So I was like, yeah, Dave's not here.
Well, one thing.
So, and then we had
one thing that.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I was just going to say.
Well,
one
I was going to say.
That, I was just curious going into the weekend if there were going to be, you know, if or how many new people might show up expecting or hoping to meet Dave and not have him be there that weekend, since it wasn't really talked about and they didn't, you know, I felt like that there wasn't a lot put out that said, you know, Dave is definitively not going to be there, in case anybody's thinking about going for that reason.
Yeah, no one asked. I think people kind of knew that, because not once, maybe right before, maybe like the last Wrestling Observer before, maybe Brian mentioned it, but they did not talk about it on Wrestling Observer Radio at all. And usually when they do, I'll usually get like emails after a Wrestling Observer Radio show that they mention it. And I didn't get any of those, basically, because like I say, they didn't plug it at all. So I think everyone had an idea that Dave wasn't going to be there. No one brought that up or complained about it. I mean, that was brought up at WrestleMania because some asshole got mad at Ronnie, saying that Ronnie was advertising him for the brunch, which, you know, he or
yeah,
I or nobody ever did. And the guy was kind of being a dick about it. But, no, that wasn't an issue on this one at all. And I had told earlier in the week, I had told Leva to invite Allison Danger, who lives in Vegas. And I'm sure she'd want to hang out with the girls. And, you know, why split time when we can combine it? And so I told her to invite her. And I think she had made some tweets. So I told Levi, I go, make sure you tell Danger Dave's not coming, in case that's an issue with her also. And but she came, and the dinner was like, usually we have two long tables. This time we just had one. I think it was basically 20 of us that were there, but it was cool. I mean, Levi had gone, Mia, Allison Danger went after all. Chris Wolf was there, Samantha Heights, and Brittany Blake also went. Miranda was not feeling well from her trip from Mexico. Poor Miranda. I mean, she had to go through this fucking hell tour in Mexico where she got sick and just had to deal with some horrible shit there and came back. And then, you know, she did great at the show. And she also went with us to pick up Zaya that day. But when we went to pick her, okay, she got in at 12, so we go to pick her up. Or actually, we were late because I was waiting for the guys to bring up the booze and sodas and stuff that I got for the sweet party, and the dude took almost like an hour to fucking do all that shit. So I'm like, fuck, we're late. She's going to be waiting for us. She's going to look like an asshole making her wait. So we get there, and she still hasn't gotten her bag, so we park, and it took an hour and a half for her to get her bag or bags that day. And I have no idea why it would take so long. It was Terminal 3, so it's a smaller terminal, so it's not like the bags are even going that far and shit.
Yeah.
So my guess is that she was coming in from Mexico, and they probably searched every bag for drugs, and that's probably what the holdup was. So she had to deal with that. And then, unfortunately, there was another issue where when she went home, she left one of her bags on the plane, and unfortunately got robbed and lost some of her money. So that kind of sucks. So poor Miranda had a rough week, but she did great on the show, thankfully, and she got to see her best friend for like 12 hours. So anyway, so that was that. And then later on, we had to pick up Samantha and Brittany. Luckily, it worked out, so we just picked them up at the same time, basically. And then we just took them back. They got ready real quick. We went to the dinner. Dinner was awesome, except for the fact that I fucked up with those fucking four cards, but they would come into play later in the weekend in different ways. And so that was that. And then we went to the party. And I knew Leva would hang out at the party. I had a good feeling Samantha was going to hang out at the party. I wasn't too sure about Brittany because I thought she's kind of like Mia, where she's not really that comfortable in big groups of people she don't know. She doesn't really come off as too much of a party, but she also came, and they were super cool. And I was really impressed with the two of them. I thought they were awesome. They hung out quite a bit, and super cool. And Brittany Blake, she's one of these girls who, to me, doesn't really seem like she's trying to make herself, like, when she puts her face on, she's not, like, trying to be, like, super pretty. She's just trying to be cool. But in her own way, she's, like, one of the most drop-dead gorgeous women I've ever seen. Yeah. When you see her really close, I was just, like, kind of blown away on how pretty she is. I mean, I knew she was pretty, but it was just, like, at another level when you see it in person. And then Samantha Heights is just super cool. And so they hung out. Andy Dalton, who was on the show, he showed up. And it was a pretty cool party. Tom Lawler was there, even though he supposedly has issues with me, and was even civil to me and talked to me, even though, according to Dez, he was all, fuck Ed, and he can kiss my ass and all this shit before. So he was at least cool to me at the show, and I didn't have to start running around and hiding from getting my ass kicked from a UFC fighter and shit. So that was all right. And he hung out for quite a while and got pretty drunk.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really get a chance to really sit and talk with the girls at all much, but I thought it was cool that they were there and were down with coming in, hanging out, party, and then seeing them. I know later on at brunch on Sunday, it's good to see Tom. I've had a couple chances at the conventions to see him, and then once or twice when he's come up here to Seattle for Defy. And I was just going to add, kind of going through real quickly, because I don't know if we're going to be crunched on time, but group of us hung out at the Carnival Court, which is, I'm trying to remember, I don't remember which hotel it's in between exactly, but we started our drinking there in the afternoon, on Friday, and then since there was a number of us that didn't go to the dinner, I was able to meet up with you and get the keys to access the suite a little ahead of time. Everybody else, while you guys were sitting down to dinner, we got to the suite and got to kick back, continue our drinking there, taking the sights and all that. And so that made that nice when people started showing up that we were able to get them in and just kind of keep things going. As far as just quickly through the rest of the weekend, Saturday with the shows was, even though Friday nearly killed me and it took a lot of work on the first half of Saturday to get myself in line to actually leave my hotel room and make it to the FSW show and then the NXT viewing show. Those were fun. I mean, both shows are fairly quick and condensed, so taking in two shows back-to-back like that didn't drag. It didn't, wear and tear on you. Sunday, I ended up skipping SummerSlam in the end and decided to go with a few people to Fremont Street, where we checked out the Mob Museum, which if nobody's been there and you're headed to Las Vegas, that's a cool spot to actually check out. If you've got, I would say, at least 2 hours in your day to kill, head there. It's an old federal building, and it's three floors, and it goes chronologically. So, you know, starting on the third floor, you work your way down to the first, and then it just kind of blows through the history of the mob, going back to the late 1800s and early 1900s. There's a lot of reading, a lot of stuff to take in. So like I say, you definitely need to plan some time to spend there. They do have a distillery and speakeasy in the basement of the building, and we didn't get to check that out. So it'll be a nice chance to go back there hopefully next year and maybe complete all of that.
That's cool. Well, we're actually not too pressed for time because I did set it for 90 minutes in case we did go late. I don't think we're going 90 minutes, but I'm sure we're going to go over the hour, especially because I have some stories that lead up to the FSW show. So basically, I was having issues, all kinds of issues, the whole fucking week, the whole weekend there. So basically, it starts off first day, Thursday. They freeze my debit card because I didn't call and tell them I was coming to Vegas. So I had to go searching through numbers, and when I found out it was basically frozen, I went back and I looked for the number on the back of the card, and it's basically to my local bank branch, which is already closed. And then so I had to get on the internet and start looking for shit, and then get that unfrozen. And then last year I had got all the payouts I had in cash and envelopes before I even got to Vegas, and I should have done that because, you know, I thought because Vegas is different, you know, you could usually take whichever you want out of your card. So I took 800 out on Saturday and figured, okay, I'll come, because that was the limit I could take out at once. And then I just wait a couple hours, come back, get some more. No, that was my limit for the day. So there were wrestlers I had to pay via PayPal that day. So that was kind of, I didn't really like that. I mean, everybody was cool with that, but I personally kind of was like upset with me for having to do that. But so I had like those issues. And then after the show at the NXT, and shout out to William Powell for letting us watch it at the Sci-Fi Center. Then there was an issue with Zaya's ticket. I spelled her name wrong, so I called American, and then basically I was in the queue waiting for them to call me back for like almost 2 hours. And then when they do call me back, I think they're ready to go. No, that just put me on hold for another 20 minutes, where I kept getting the same thing saying that, all operators are busy, please stand by or continue to hold. But every time they did that, it sounded like somebody was picking up. So for 20 minutes, every minute I thought somebody was picking up, and they weren't. And I was just losing my mind, getting frustrated with that. And then they tell me, oh, it's one letter off. She can do that herself at the thing. So I'm like, oh, my God. So, yeah, I really couldn't concentrate too much there. And then when I get back to the room, I had told I had told Sam and Brittany that I'd have to pay. Well, I was going to give them each 100 cash, and then I was going to pay them the rest, PayPal them the rest. I was also going to PayPal Leva. So I gave them the cash. They go to the room. I PayPal Leva. That's no problem. I PayPal Brittany. It goes through. And then as I'm PayPaling Sam, I get a text on my phone saying that this seems like a fraudulent charge or whatever. Do I really want to pay it? I'm like, yes. And I never, ever got one of those. So it went through, but she got it. But then it was on like something where she was still going to have to wait a couple of days to get it. So I was all felt embarrassed and stupid about that. And then it wouldn't let me send Sam's. It was just saying that, I don't know if I just sent too many PayPals that day or what. So luckily it was after 12 a.m. So it was the next day. So I was able to go to the ATM and get some money off of there to pay her. But I just felt stupid because, you know, I just felt like a stupid carny, you know, shitty indie promoter who just, you know, always has some kind of an excuse. But, you know, they did get their money, thankfully. But it's just, I just felt kind of shitty about that. But anyway, everybody got paid. Everything's cool. And my debit card thing was just like going back and forth. Like at one point, I was in the plus, and then at another point, I was in the negative, and I'm like, how the fuck did I get in the negative overnight? I didn't charge anything, and then it went back to the positive. It was just like, because one of the reasons was I had three hotel rooms that I had to leave deposits on all three, and they were falling off at different times, and it was just very confusing as fuck. And come Sunday morning for the brunch, I found out that, you know, I knew Sam and Brittany were there and they wanted to go, and I'm like, I really can't cover all three of us. So I messaged Dez, and I'm like, hey, I got these four $50 gift cards. Let me give them to you. You cover our brunch, because basically everything was on, the deposit was made on his credit card, so he could just put it on his card or whatever. So he's like, okay, that's cool. All right, so we go to brunch, and they bring me the bill. So I look at the bill, and of course this would only happen to me, because last year I had paid for the, Leva and Mia and to go to the brunch, and they ended up not being able to make it. They went out with Danger. So you have to give them 4 days notice on your total number. So I ended up getting charged. I ended up getting charged because we had extra there, or we had under what the original total I gave them. So I got charged for them. So I'm figuring we're going to get charged here. So I get the bill, and the bill's for 20 people, even though we had like 20. I don't know. It seemed like it was like 24, because it seemed like both tables were full, and then there were four at that other table. But they just charged us for the 20.
It might have been even.
So I had already given Dez the gift cards and shit. So I was like, oh, fuck, man. So then later that night, I checked my debit card, and all of a sudden I'm negative. Somehow I went negative. So I go and I showed, look, dude, I'm not lying to you. Look at my fucking statement. And it's like I'm going to need you to pay me for the fucking gift cards. So he was cool and gave me the gift cards. And then in the morning, of course, one of the rooms had dropped off or whatever, so it had gone back up to where the positive. So it was just, I just had so much stress and nerves and just like shit going wrong. So it was like I enjoyed the show and I thought it was great, but at the same time, I just had so much shit going on that it was just like very nerve-wracking and nervous, and I didn't know what the fuck was going on at the time. So part of the day was great. Part of the day kind of sucked. And then also I gotta give a shout out to basically any wrestling promoter out there, because shit happens. It's not easy. I was all stoned the other day. I said praise Akametsu, saying I have a whole new respect for you after promoting this show, because like originally. Hudson Envy was going to be on the show, but then she had a procedure. She couldn't do the show. So then I get LaFisto to agree to do the show, and then she has to have a procedure, and then she can't do the show. And then Kylie Rae was going to be on the show, and she broke her collarbone in Stardom in Japan, so she was off the show. And then the day of the show, I get a message from Shotzi saying she's having transportation problems. And I was like, you know what, don't worry about it. I knew how bad Miranda was hurting, so I figured Shotzi probably wasn't that much better and didn't have to drive 10 hours, so it's probably safer that she didn't. So I was like, don't worry about it. Don't sweat it. Don't try and get a car. Don't worry about it. We're good. You know, she's cool with me, so it was cool. And then the whole thing with fucking Jack Jameson, I mean, that really was the thing that hurt me the most, because we had agreed on because I told him, I was like, hey, you know, I'm going to see if I can get Joe. Let me do an opener. I'll get you, and maybe we get one of the other Texas guys, and we can do a comedy match to open the show. And he's like, yeah, I could get Dalton. I'm in Dallas now, and Dalton's here. You know, Dalton's real good. I'm like, yeah, he's real good. So I told Joe, hey, you know, I'd like to do an opening match with Jack and Andy Dalton. He's like, Andy Dalton? He's like, no offense to Jack, but Andy Dalton's a hell of a talent. I could put him against my champion. So I was like, okay, that's fine. I'll figure something out for Jack. So I was basically talking to Jack weekly, because his match was changing. He was going from, if LaFisto was going to do the show, he was going to go against LaFisto. And then it was going to be, okay, he's going to be Shotzi's partner. And then, oh, okay, no, he's going to do this. And then it's like, okay, well, it's just, you know, I actually wanted to put Marco in with Brian. But when I mentioned it to Joe, I mean, Joe was cool about everything, you know, about let us do whatever we want. But when I mentioned that, he's like, Marco, my student who barely trains, and I don't even use him on my shows. And I'm like, oh, fuck. He's putting the kibosh on Marco. So I was like, well, how about we do like a battle royal? We could put Marco in the battle royal, but he doesn't win, and Jack Jameson wins, and so on and so forth. So we had all that set up. I had talked to Jack almost every week. He was super excited and happy to be doing the show. I mean, he basically asked me to do the show before I even asked him. Same thing last year.
Yeah.
So about a week and a half before the show, I get a message from his girlfriend saying that something came up. He can't do the show. And I was like, well, what's going on? And I messaged him, what's going on? And I still haven't ever heard from him, but she messaged me back saying he had some issues. I don't really want to say everything she said, but just
yeah.
He's not going to be able to do the show. And originally I was going to pay the gas for him and Andy, and I was going to pay for a room for one night. I was going to get a real cheap-ass room by the airport and then so-and-so and, you know, pay them for the show and so-and-so. So when later on toward the end, he was telling me, oh, yeah, me and my girlfriend want to go for like a – we'd like to go for a few days, actually. And I'm like, well, I'll tell you what. I'll be cool. I can get a deal on a room. It's actually cheaper the more you get the days for, so I'll get you a room for 3 days.
Yeah.
Since you guys will have a car, I'll get it at Boulder Station. That way you don't have to worry about driving or whatever. So – anyway, with him gone, and before that, he told me since I was getting him the room for 3 days, since we're putting him in high profile matches and all this, he's like, he told me he'd take care of the gas. So I was like, cool. All right, everything's cool. So then when he pulled out, you know, I talked to Dalton. I'm like, hey, you know, Jack's out, but you know, we still want you for the show. And he's like, yeah, I'm still down to do the show and so, and then come to find out that they were going to take Jack's car, and then he had no idea that Jack said he was going to take care of the gas, only that I was going to take care of the gas because that's what we had originally talked about way back when. So I'm like, well, fuck, let's figure out what the gas is. So I look at the gas, and the gas equals the price of a fucking flight. So I'm like, okay, let me get you a flight. The room's already paid for. I can't get a refund on that anyway. Just come hang out for 3 days. And, you know, I'll still pay you for the show and so and so. So, and then when we added the Disco Inferno to take Jack's place, you know, I had to pay half of the Disco Inferno's thing. Joe was cool and paid the other half. But by this point, this is close to $500 that I'm spending not even a week before the trip. So that kind of, you know what I mean, that kind of hit my pocketbook, and that kind of also helped me kind of screw everything up financially. So I had to deal with that. So that sucked. So, but basically everybody got paid. You know, I actually made decent off the gate on my half. I still would have lost money, but I had spent so much money on Thursday and Friday, I only got so much back. But like I said, I was still able to cover everything for everything. I still owe a couple of people somewhere. Like I was supposed to pay David for the Madison Square Garden show ticket, but I had to explain to him that's going to take a couple of weeks to do. And then when I was having the PayPal issue, Siteswipe had gave me some cash to give to him. So I will Siteswipe a little money too. So, but other than that, I mean, like I say, everybody got paid, everything was cool. So it all worked out. And you know, I was never expecting to make money on the show. My goal was to build a relationship with FSW, show them that I'm serious. And that's why I still sprung for Dalton to go. I mean, I could have just said, hey, it's just not going to work out. But Joe was excited to have him on there. I didn't want to tell Joe right before the show, oh, hey, I lost Andy Dalton and shit. So that's why I kind of still brought him in and spent that extra money. So I'm building a relationship with FSW, show them I'm serious. Getting the fans used to having an all-women show once a year. And then also showing the women that I'm someone who's cool to work with. I'm not going to fuck them around or whatever and just build in. And like say next year we could do a casino show. And maybe next year, maybe in a couple of years, I'll actually make some money on it than losing. But you know me, I take a certain amount of money to Vegas and I know it's not coming back with me. So instead of applying that to gambling or strippers or ladies of the night, I just put that money to the show, which was cool.
Well, I think just now hearing a lot of the backstory too, and hearing all the fucking headache and trouble that happened, that everybody who has seen the show were there live, you know, wouldn't know any different. And it turned out to be a really great show. And I think, like I said before, people are now looking forward to maybe making that a tradition and expecting that that's going to be something that's a part of convention weekend going forward.
Yeah, and like I say, it was a down year, but that's partly because of All In, partly because of other things. So if we were to tell everyone now exactly that it's going to be the same weekend, hopefully more people to go. Hopefully if there is an All In 2, it won't be so close to the convention date. And Vinny was saying that, you know, he knows that they waited too long to promote it, because basically Brian waited to promote it until after the Black Label Pro show, which was basically a month before. And you can't really plan a trip to Vegas a month before. You need 3 or 4 months. So hopefully next year we can get the angles running and get everything ready to go that far in advance, so we get back to our 40, 50 people that go, maybe even higher next year.
I think getting the plans in place hopefully soon in the next couple months, and getting some promotion going well ahead of it, not having either. And I'm sure that there's still going to be people looking to go to Mania in New York, but I feel like New Orleans was a big travel destination for a lot of people. So, you know, a lot of us did New Orleans this year for Mania. There's been now with New Japan shows coming a little more regularly too. I know I chose to do that and Vegas over the chance to go to All In. So, yeah, I think you're right that next year, kind of, if some of those things aren't going against the convention, that we'll see it spring back.
I think next year it'll be back to normal. And like I say, I think there's a chance for it to get a little bigger too, even next year. So I'm not too worried about that for next year. And me and Brian are actually on friendly terms now. I sent him a text on Sunday. I'm like, so are we friends again? And he sent me a text saying, yeah, I turned a corner on you this weekend. So hopefully we can get it. Because basically the only reason me and Brian haven't got along, it's because of the convention and the plugging of the convention, because they do a shitty job of it, or have. And basically this is what happens every year. I send an email where I say words like please and thank you and appreciate it, trying to get him to plug the show, and he forgets to do it. So then I send a second email where I also use words like please, thank you, and so-and-so, and he'll forget to do it. And then I'll send him a third one, basically rinse and repeat, and he forgets or whatever. So then the fourth one's like, what the fuck, asshole? Plug the fucking convention, goddammit. And then he's like, well, fuck you. And then he'll actually plug it. But now we're mad at each other. So then he'll plug it, and then it's the same thing over again. I'll send some nice emails. He won't plug it. Then I'll fucking send him an email where I'm screaming at him, and then he'll get mad back at me, but he'll plug it. And it's like rinse and repeat every year. So after 10 years of that, we've kind of been at each other's throats for the most part, but we're actually looking like we're friends again. So that'll hopefully help until, you know, he pisses me off again. But then, on Monday, you know, there was just a few of us left. I think it was just me, you, Dale, and Sideswipe, and we had lunch at the Chin Chin, and then I think you had to take off, and then I took a nap in Sideswipe's room for a couple hours. Oh, yeah, I was delayed an hour, too. When I got to the airport, I looked, and it's like I'm leaving at 9:10 instead of 8:20. I was like, oh, fuck, man. The curse of Brian's fucking everybody.
I had ended up hanging with you and Sideswipe and Dale, and I got the first, because I knew the day before that flying into Seattle was starting to be a headache, because we've had wildfires up in Canada, on the east side of Washington, down California, all the smoke's coming in, and it's just turned things into a miserable shit show, down to the point where, like, certain parts of our state have had the worst air quality of anywhere in the entire world right now. And so it was delaying flights because of the lack of visibility in sight. So I'd gotten the first notification that I'd been delayed something like 15 minutes, and it was right in about the time that I was initially planning to head to the airport. And I waited a little bit longer and finally just decided to go. Just said, you know, I don't think it's the end of it, but I'm just going to take my chance. I don't want to end up missing a flight or have something go differently. So I was on the road halfway to the airport when the second delay came, and at this point it was pushed out an hour from my original departure time. So I had a chance to actually get in, get through TSA, and figure out that that Kirk and Jessica and Ryan were all within walking distance. We were all in the same terminal, so I was able to go find them, sit down, and hang out with them until for about 15, 20 minutes until they had to board their flight. And then from there, I got delayed another hour and just did laps around the airport until I was actually able to go somewhere.
What time did y'all actually leave?
I left at like 7:30, and I think I was originally supposed to leave at like 5 o'clock.
Okay, yeah, you would have been gone before I got there. Because, like I said, I was supposed to, my flight was supposed to be 8:20, and I get there, and when I sit down, and then I check my emails, I'm like, oh, fuck, it's 9:10 now. But luckily, it wasn't any worse than that, so.
Yeah,
ended up getting
and
home
I know
and
Vinny
having to go straight to the paper route.
Vinny and Bridget were a couple of flights behind me. We were all flying Alaska, but they were, I think, two flights after me, and I think they ended up only being delayed about 45 minutes.
Damn.
And they got out at, like, 9:30 Monday night.
Yeah, it was crazy. Everybody was having delays. I mean, I very rarely have one. The way there was cool, but, like, the way back, had to wait an hour. But that's not too bad. We also, on Sunday, besides the brunch, the funniest part to me was the brunch. You weren't at my table, but the girl, the Samantha and Brittany had gone up to get desserts, and they had already eaten some, and, you know, girls don't really eat a whole lot. So I was expecting them to come back with maybe one or two things. They came back each with one of everything. So they had these plates, and they were all neat, and then they're like in lines, and just like, it was crazy, but they didn't eat everything. They just basically sampled everything. But it was so funny when these little, you know, they're pretty small. They come back and they got these freaking plates of like each with like 25 different desserts on them. I was just like, God damn.
I thought I do recall hearing a story about after you guys left and their plates were still at the table that Des had walked by and spotted them. Spotted the place and grabbed something off of it and had a bite, so it wasn't all lost.
Yeah, I was so impressed though because they still sampled a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that was the buffet was that's an awesome buffet, honestly.
Yeah, it
and
is.
I didn't even make it all the way down. I had filled one plate up all the way, and I had filled it up so much that plate had pretty much kicked my ass, and I didn't want to risk eating more regular food and not being able to enjoy the dessert, so I went straight to the desserts, and then if I was going to have any space, I'd get something, but the desserts, I got like two gelatos and some cookies and a cobbler, and I was pretty much done, and then we had a rush to the airport, actually, because I think Sam thought she was leaving later than she was, so we kind of had to rush them to the airport and got them there on time, so that was cool. So that was all. They had a good time. I told them next time, I was like, man, I got the rooms till Monday. Next time, just if y'all want to stay later, just plan it a little longer and stay another day. It's cheaper to get the rooms for more days. So and stuff. So they'll definitely if I have anything to say about it, which I guess I will, and I'll make sure I get them to save the date sooner. Yeah, I'll definitely be having them on the show because I thought they were not just great on the show, but just hanging out in general was pretty cool. And I was kind of worried because, you know, they at the Shimmers there's after parties, and basically I'm cool with enough of them, so I'll get to eat with a lot of the girls, and I don't have to worry about, you know, hanging out on the sidelines and waiting to surround one as they get separated from the pack, which it's like a National Geographic thing sometimes when if one of the girl wrestlers gets away from her group and makes the mistake of stopping to talk to somebody, they will be surrounded like a pack of hyenas or a pack of wolves, you know, is on the attack. So
yeah.
I was kind of worried if they might think that it might be some kind of party like that, but, you know, everyone's cool. I mean, no one was like Ben was talking to him a lot, but he wasn't being a perv or anything. At least I hope not. But yeah. You know, I mean, people like they talked to him, but it's not like they were like, you know what I mean, all over him. So I think they had a good time since it was like that. So that was cool. And then Saturday, you weren't there when I got there, but Vinny found this karaoke place, and it wasn't your typical karaoke place. It was actually a bunch of private rooms, and there were like, I don't know, what, 10 of us maybe in the room? And so basically 10, you don't have to 10, wait 12. To sing, something like that. And they had these awesome Korean wines or something that were all different flavors. Like there was a pineapple one, a peach margarita, a regular margarita, strawberry, just all kinds of things. And they were like 20%. So yeah. That was probably the only night I kind of got drunk because I was, you know, I didn't have any money. So I was going to mooch all I could. And everyone was like, kept telling me to get a drink. So I kept drinking these things. And then there was food and everyone kept singing. So there's like no wait. So I thought it was like super cool. And hopefully they have an even bigger room so we can get more people into it next year. And
it was a cool deal because Vinny had actually, there was a couple different places that he'd researched and had his one that he had his eye on, I think going back to last year. So we put up a poll in the group Facebook page and we kind of ended up we went with this venue that he found, which wasn't far off the strip, just a couple minute car ride from like Tropicana or Excalibur. And like you're saying, yeah, it's because you can rent a private room and they have different size rooms based on how many people are in your group. So I think that room was one of the biggest ones. And I think they open or they start operating at 9 p.m. And in this case, our group had the first hour paid for, but then it was kind of an open-ended deal to where you could keep just saying, telling the owners that you were going to keep going in the room for, you know, every hour up until something like 5 a.m. I guess they stay open. So we ended up making it till 3 a.m. I think was when whoever was still there finally waved the white flag and admitted that we were running out of gas. And yeah, it was a really cool setup. I think everybody enjoyed it. And they have their actual karaoke setup is great because they have two screens at either end of the room. They've got light effects and they've got this giant kind of like clipboard sized controller where you can enter, search for the songs or the artists you want to sing, and you can alter the key or the speed. You can do audience cheers. You can input all this stuff on this control pad. And so it made for a really fun experience. And then of course, yeah, like you're saying, with this alcohol that we were all drinking, and it made for a good night.
Yeah. And besides their setup, if you couldn't find something you wanted to sing in their list, you could hook up to YouTube and just get like a version of a song with the lyric. It wouldn't be on both screens, but it would be on the one screen and you'd still be able to work it like a regular karaoke. But you could basically, it didn't matter if your song was on the list, you could just go on YouTube and find it. So I thought that was a pretty cool little option too and stuff. So, So it was awesome. I didn't actually get up and sing, but I got so buzzed that I was actually singing on the side, basically. So
by the time that Dale and I had come back, it was sitting around and everybody in the room pretty much was singing along to each and every song by that point.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was awesome. It was, and those drinks were fucking, they were 20% and you really couldn't taste the fucking alcohol. I mean, they were fucking fantastic.
The dangerous part of it.
Yeah.
I had actually gotten there and I had a beer, and then at the time, I think Jessica somebody had ordered just a couple different like crafts of this drink, and so they were drinking that, and then it kind of started to the point where they were ordering, you know, like multiples, like three at a time or something. So
yeah,
Bridget orders three different flavors, and I was like, okay, I'll try a little bit, just two sips of each type, and Dale and I were kind of mentally preparing because there's a bar down the road that we wanted to run and check out, aptly named the Dive Bar, and it true to name was a dive bar. But we're getting ready to kind of make our break, say goodbyes or whatever. And next thing I know, Bridget's pouring me an entire full glass of it. And I'm like, fuck, now I got to go through all this before I can leave. So we do that. It ends up being another 10, 15 minutes before we leave. And we get out of the building. We said goodbyes and we're leaving and we start walking. And I was like, yeah, I knew I was in for trouble when she poured that thing for me, but I'm definitely feeling it right now.
Yeah, those drinks were good. And then to keep the room like an extra hour, I think it was just like 30, 35 bucks or something. So it wasn't like
that, yeah,
super expensive. Like one person could spring for like 1 hour, and if you have 10 people, that's like 10 hours right there, and it's not that much.
Yeah.
I don't know how much the drinks were, but they were flowing all night, thankfully, for my broke ass at that
point.
Well,
the other cool thing that they do there is that you can order customized buckets of beer. So they do like a metal bucket, and you can order up to like, I think it's 6 beers per bucket, but they actually give you a menu and says, here's all the bottled beer we have. You can pick one kind, or you can pick 6 different bottles of beer to go in your bucket. So you can customize it. So that was kind of nice.
Yeah. There was one beer that was in a bucket for the whole time. And I finally grabbed it when it was at a point where the other bottles were kind of low. And I'm like, I bet you Horseman must have ordered this one. I drank it and I was like, man, this don't taste too good. I hope Horseman didn't order this.
No, I
but you
I
know me,
ended
I'm not,
up ordering.
I'm not the beer consumer you are.
No, I kind of,
yeah,
since I wasn't planning on being there, I picked off of other people's buckets and paid them back for them.
Yeah, so we're actually at 3 minutes of live airfare. So let me get this plug out because, unfortunately, somebody was expecting to make the shout-out list, and, I barely remembered the stuff during the weekend, so I kind of forgot the stuff before the weekend, but I want to send out the shout-out to Stevie J for having me on his show to plug the Vegas convention and everything that was going on. I really appreciate it, Stevie. So sorry that you didn't make the shout-out list. I've had a lot of shit on my mind since the weekend and stuff, so I apologize for that. But like I say, this is a special show. I don't know how often the shows will pop up. I mean, they're very sporadically nowadays, so I don't really know how to do the plug, but if you're interested in hearing the replay of this show or hearing past shows, you can always check us out at angrymarks.com, along with a lot of other shows. Check us out at angrymarks.com. Also on iTunes at keyword Angry Marks, and you can listen to our show there. You can also listen to the show on blogtalkradio.com/Cotrere, and older shows at blogtalkradio.com/Edward-Laredo. You can follow me at Facebook at Edward Laredo, and you can follow me at Twitter at Ed in San Antonio. And for Peach Machine that was on earlier, you can follow him at Peach Machine. And I'm only going to give that one because the motherfucker has like 20 goddamn fucking accounts, and I'm not going to name every single goddamn one of them. And he also does the Comedy Suplex. Is that the fucking name of his show?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, you can check out the Comedy Suplex podcast and just Google that and you can find it. And if you have anything you'd like to plug, go ahead.
If you want to find me on Twitter, I'm at JR_Horseman, MEN. I think I'm also at the same handle on Instagram, and I'm on Facebook, but I don't know what my handle is there.
Oh, well, so we're 60 seconds to go. So anyway, we'll just go ahead and end the show. Hope everyone had a good time in Vegas. I hope we didn't scare you off from coming to Vegas next year if you're thinking about it. It really is a good time. So we encourage people to come. Shout out to my girls for being on the show. The Ed in San Antonio roster went from, like, I guess I had 4 on the roster last year, and now I've added like another 6 or 7. So the Ed in San Antonio women's roster is increasing by numbers, and pretty soon will be even bigger than Shimmer and NXT. And so that's cool. But I don't know when the next show will happen. Might be months, might be weeks, might be next year. But until then, we will talk to everyone later.
Be the man. You gotta beat the man. You wanna find out how good you are? You're looking at the Matrix shit. Let's go hook him up. I would dog you until I wear your Texas ass out.
And hell, I might even get on top of my wife tonight.